But that's how I feel. and thank you for not pressing record at that point. But that's how I feel, and I'm not going to go back on it. And I reckon that person deserves everything I just said that you heard.
That they haven't. They've not had a great run, have they? Have they done anything that anyone cared about?
I feel like they keep getting opportunities and chances because of who their daddy is.
Yeah, but you know that whole thing about kissed on the dick by a fairy? I've been kissed on the dick by a number of fairies.
Yeah.
And it has not really brought me that much luck.
Right. Maybe you've been kissed on the dick by the wrong fairies.
Wrong fairies. That's
time, time to get some new fairies, buddy.
I need better fairies.
This is...
kiss me on the dick.
I'll be honest, this has been a long play, sit you down, come to Damascus moment. I've only been doing this podcast to get to this moment, which is to let you know you are being kissed on the dick by the wrong
the
fairies.
Wrong fairies. Who's got the good fairies?
Who's Where got the good fairies? Send in the good fairies.
Send us, tell us if you know anyone who has the good fairies. I could name some people I think have good fairies.
Oh, yeah. Well, I reckon this guy's got fucking half a dozen of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what he's doing to those fairies.
Anyone who's got anything to do with architecture television shows, they've been kissed on the dick by a number of fairies.
Oh, dear. Right.
And I'm not naming just one person there. If you think, whoever you're thinking of, the other one's also the same.
Right. trying to work out what the show is. But, you know, what I was going to say, which we can talk about, was, man, I laughed a lot at the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. Like, I laughed heaps.
Groot!
Oh, fuck. I found all of that stuff really funny. I wonder if it just got me at the right moment, but I just found it... I don't know. It's like exactly what you need from a sequel where it's all the people that you want, but there's just a slight change in the dynamic.
Oh,
and
my God. And the what's his face? I've forgotten his name. No. Bautista.
Drax.
Yeah.
Oh.
Losing his mind with laughter.
But losing it, but still not quite getting it that he wants to go next.
Yes.
And that to me is...
Yes.
That's the genius part of that scene.
Do you know
scene.
What he is? He feels like, you know, like stupid millennials. Like there's the... They're like a... And I know there are many... I know many millennials and they're not all stupid.
But we're talking about... The stupid millennials.
You know, the ones who...
Not all the millennials, just the stupid ones.
The stupid ones.
Yeah.
Like you know, when I talk about the arsehole Christians. Like, I know many nice Christians.
Right.
But there are arsehole Christians who have very strange opinions about things.
Yeah, there's arsehole Christians, there's arsehole millenniums,
yeah.
there's arsehole women,
yes.
there's arsehole comedians,
it's not
there's
all
arsehole
of them.
Men.
There's arseholes who host...
I think all Muslims are great.
Television shows.
All Muslims.
About architecture.
All of them are great.
All of them.
Or,
There's one or two Muslims. but anyway. Bless
there goes
you.
Another novel.
But it's that kind of thing. It's like, oh my God, he totally pranked you. That is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. It's my, do me. And it's like, what? Why are you lining up for this shit?
Yeah, why are you lining
up? Do you think that this is great?
Yeah, fuck, it's funny. The way he laughs as well.
It's like a member of the Jackass team.
Right.
Like, you know how you see one of them do something awful and horrible, and you're like, oh my God, that looks... And then the next one's like, I'm going to try it. Like, you just saw how bad that was.
you just saw the nervous breakdown that dude had. By the way, before we keep talking, in case you don't get to the end of this podcast, the shelf is on sale. The shelf is on sale for the next comedy festival.
It's in April.
And yeah, but most of our season tickets are already gone.
Yeah.
So if you want to get onto it before the people who will find out about the shelf through the Melbourne International Comedy Festival launch,
yes,
you guys can get in early and get those tickets.
Yes,
Before the people that we think aren't as big a fans as you.
The arsehole comedy fans.
Right, so we'd rather have you there
than the arseholes.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong, we'll take their money. We'll flesh out that room with them, but we want your money first because we actually like you.
We
actually pitch the show to you, not to them. But we'll take them.
We do pitch it to the season the season ticket holders.
Yeah.
That's why we have running gags. That's why
right.
we have
that's it. Exactly.
Continuing moments.
Yes. So anyway, that's just a reminder while I remember. But the other thing in the trailer that made me laugh a lot was the interplay between Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord when he's... Do you have any tape? No, nobody has tape. What do you mean nobody? The person who's made the bomb should have the tape. It's, you know, yeah, what?
You've got like a thermonuclear warhead in your bag and you don't have tape.
Right. But you know, in lesser hands, that could have been a bit on the nose.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a really...
Yeah.
Like the comedic timing between the two of them is excellent.
Which I always go... Like, it works really well. And this is where I go... I was about to do a terrible pun, but James Gunn must be a good director.
Right.
not a gun director. Adam, don't say it. I said it. But
you should have just backed yourself.
I know. But because when you're making something like that, like, you don't have enough money in your budget for Bradley Cooper to be on the set squatting down, pretending to be a raccoon.
Right.
To be yelling up to Chris Pratt. So it's just like some asshole.
Yeah.
Like, just yelling out those lines.
Yeah.
To Chris Pratt. And, like, so it would be... And it's both of their performances are right. pitch perfect for that interplay.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's pre-recorded or... one of them had to go first.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a good director keeping two actors in a moment like that who are probably not even in the same country or the same... It's probably not even done in the same month.
Yeah.
Like the actual logistics of that and still being a good scene.
Yeah.
That's a big job.
Right. And anyway...
So many people fuck it up.
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny. I love the implication that obviously Drax jumps into the mouth of that thing and cuts his way out. Yeah. Fuck, that was funny.
Yes.
yeah, it made me... Made me look forward to when it's coming out. But having said that, I was quite looking forward to... I enjoyed Doctor Strange.
Did I tell you about Doctor Strange?
I don't know if I'd see it again, though.
I probably want to see it again in a motionless chair.
That's right. You were in Hong Kong, were you?
I was in Hong Kong. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of it set in Hong Kong, and it's clearly... When you're in Hong Kong...
Not?
You go, this is not in Hong Kong.
Yeah, right.
The street's really wide. There are no wide streets
There's
in Hong
no
Kong.
There's no wide streets in Hong Kong.
There are wide streets in Hong Kong, but they have giant elevated freeways popped in the middle of them.
Yeah.
And you can't cross the road.
Yeah.
And also, like, there's so many signs in English in Hong Kong in Doctor Strange the movie to sell some things that they've done deals with. Like, there's a big neon Yakult sign. I'm like, that's a weird thing to have.
Right.
In your, but whatever. And then when I was in Hong Kong, there were big posters for Yakult with Doctor Strange on them.
Oh,
like,
right.
It's a weird tired thing. I'm like, right. Yakult? Like, where right. does this come from? Anyway.
It's weird when a city becomes a tie into a movie.
But yeah, I went to this thing called the D-Box, I think it was called. And there was also one called 4DX, which is where the chair has like it's synced up to the movie and it's hydraulic. So it kind of moves around from side to side or it jolts.
Oh man, that must have been full on
Doctor Strange. Or it vibrates.
Yeah.
And so every time, like, you know, they were flying, the chair kind of just does this weird, very slight motion. So it just makes you feel a bit weightless.
Right.
It was really interesting. It was like in some scenes it's mental. Like right. you just go, probably wouldn't have done it here in the car accident.
Yeah. Yeah, this is full
like,
on.
This is a bit too much. Like, you know, it was Gary's like, oh, I don't want to go and sit in those chairs. I'm like, no, I want to sit in the chair. It'll be fun. He goes, it'll take me out of the movie. I'm like, it's a movie about a sorcerer from that can cross the timelines. And he's like, yeah, you're right. There's no being taken out of that.
Right.
Like, it's a stupid movie about nothing. It's like a ride.
Yeah.
Like, those Marvel movies are like, they're like a ride. It's like a 90-minute ride. Why not make the chairs move in it?
Right. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah, when you put it that way.
And it was probably a stupid day to do it. We had been at Disneyland all day.
Right.
So we'd already been on a bunch of rides. And it was a mental thing to do at 10:30 at night to go right. and see. But it was awesome. I really, like, I think I enjoyed it more because of the stupid chair.
By the way, we are dressed exactly the same.
I know, it's a bit weird,
That's
isn't
weird.
It?
I never wear these. I just noticed that. Luckily, you had your cap hat on because I had my...
And I've got a collar. You
know, oh, yeah, I don't have a collar, mate. Mate, I'm cash.
But we are both wearing dark blue jeans, runners, and a black t-shirt.
Yeah. And you've got Old man uniform.
You've got a New York hat on, and I've got a Captain America hat that I bought at Shanghai Disneyland.
Yeah. And one of these things is still cool.
I went to two Disneylands. Probably the poor fucking Gary. Like, like he was fine with Shanghai Disneyland, and I'm like, come on, let's go to Hong Kong Disneyland. Now he's like, no. I was like, but the line's really short. They're really short.
Yeah, because no one's there.
There's no one there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I did enjoy Doctor Strange because I think being in a wobbly chair makes you go, oh, this is dumb.
Yeah.
So you acknowledge that you're watching a dumb movie because you're in a dumb chair.
Yeah.
And it makes it better. It makes it more fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I would highly recommend it. The only one in our whole region is in Wellington in New Zealand.
Right.
The only wobbly chairs. You can buy them for home.
Maybe I'll buy one.
They're $30,000.
Maybe I'll get two.
For one chair.
Yeah, I'll get two.
And you get like, it comes with like the software and there's apparently like 1,000 movies that they've synced tracks for. Like including old shit.
Right.
So you can wobble along to your favourite movies.
My Girl Friday.
Yeah. Russell just running off of the mouth of chairs like, oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. So Murder on the Orient Express.
Interesting. Oh, no, that would be good.
That'd be great.
As they're getting stabbed.
Yeah, far out. That'd be great.
Maybe not those movies.
Now, we were going to talk about best and worst for the year.
Oh, for the year.
But realistically, it was more a case of you finally watched Suicide Squad.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh, my eyes!
Yeah.
My boyfriend, who is lovely, always gets like the... I don't know why he decides to get like an extended version. Like, he watched the extended version. I came home one day and he was watching the extended version of Batman versus Superman.
Which is an extra 30 minutes?
Yeah. And I know a whole bunch of people said, oh, yeah, it's much better with the extra 30 minutes. And like, it's the same people who said that the director's cut of 54 was better. I'm like, no, they're still terrible movies. They're just not as bad.
Right.
Like there's a bit more explanation in the extra half an hour, but it now goes for 3 hours and it's still an interminable mess.
Which did you dislike more, Batman vs. Superman or Suicide Squad?
Oh, Suicide Squad is by far the worst film.
Yeah.
Batman vs. Superman takes itself far too seriously, and Suicide Squad took itself really seriously, and then someone had a word, and it tries to not take itself seriously while having already taken itself too seriously.
Yeah. That's a really... Yeah. Batman vs. Superman might be the singular vision of an idiot, but it is the singular vision.
But it's not. This is my biggest problem with Batman vs. Superman, is like, he has borrowed from so many places that it ends up being quite visually schizophrenic. Like, there are visual moments from like 100 different comic books. Mm,
yeah.
And like things as disparate as Batman 666, the Grant Morrison thing, and and Final Crisis, and there's bits of Death of Superman, and there's bits of The Dark Knight Rises. And, you know, like the Dark Knight Returns. So there's all these different comic book images that are fed into it, as well as plundering his own ugly back catalogue. Like there's bits of what's that terrible film with the women?
Sucker Punch.
Yeah, who dance.
Yeah.
There are so many weird Sucker Punch moments in this movie. I'm like, why would you borrow from that piece of shit?
Yeah. I had high hopes for that for some reason. I remember seeing the first trailer.
It looked like it was going to be amazing, and then you realised...
I thought it was going to be fun. I thought it was going to be...
Again, but took itself too seriously.
Yeah.
He has no original ideas of his own.
Right.
Like, he hasn't had... Like, I think the most original idea he's had is slowing things down, but that just all comes back to the Matrix. But, so yeah, it's awful. But, yeah, Suicide Squad, oh my God, what a tortured script. What an awful, awful mess of a movie.
Yeah, I feel like you're talking it up.
Do you know what? It made me appreciate how enjoyable the Halle Berry Catwoman movie was.
Oh, right. Well, that's a crazy sentence. I've only I don't think I've watched that all the way through. I think I've seen... I think I saw that it was on and I started watching it, so maybe I'd missed half an hour.
Oh.
And then maybe I watched...
I went to... That was when I was doing radio, so I got
maybe I watched an hour and then I couldn't be bothered watching the rest.
Opening of everything.
Right.
So I went... Me and my sister had been to see Gothica again with Halle Berry, which turned out to be one of the worst yet most hilarious movies we've ever seen.
Right.
Where my sister had...
Pointed out... I remember she pointed out something really logical that makes no sense.
Why would you put the psychiatrist who works at the mental hospital in the mental hospital where she works?
Yeah, well, because there's no other mental hospital.
Well, why is there no other mental hospital in this town?
It's a small town. I don't know.
And I'm like, you're okay with being possessed by ghosts. She's like, yeah, I'm fine with that. But why would you...
Yeah.
And so we were... Oh, look, Halle Berry, clearly she's having a run of great movies after winning the Oscar. Let's go and see this one as well.
Yeah.
It will also... And it was just not that. It was just boring. Except for the hilarity of Sharon Stone playing a character who is turning into stone.
Is she?
Yeah, and her face is not moving anymore.
Oh, right.
Like she's invented some youth serum turning her into concrete, essentially.
Oh, right.
And you go, yes, she has looked like that for some time.
Yeah.
This is really well cast.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's stupid. It's a terrible movie. But Suicide Squad, just like, what is going on with all the weird character titles that everyone has?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone gets like an introduction movie.
Except for the one who gets killed off.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Which is, so you go, oh, he didn't get one. I guess he'll get killed.
Why didn't this guy get one? Oh, because his head's going to explode.
Well, I'd love to know, that they talked up what would happen if you didn't do the right thing so much. And then when it happened, it almost happened so quickly that you were a bit, oh, is that it? And I wonder if that got edited.
To make it less gruesome.
Yeah, don't you think?
I think, yeah, it was. They were trying to make it less gruesome. You know what it felt like? It felt like they've gone, oh my God, Deadpool has made so much money being an adult superhero movie.
Mm.
Just go for it. Just go and do whatever you like.
Mm.
Go for it. It'll make money. And then they've gone, oh, yeah. No, Deadpool was fun. They had a sense of humor.
Right.
Can you put one into this?
Right.
As well as going, like, but also I'm sick of, you know, faceless minions that get beaten to shit for no good reason.
Mm.
I'm sick of apocalyptic bullshit going on at the end of a movie. Like, why does it always have to be the end of the world?
Mm.
Why can't we just have a small little thing that goes on? Also, the fact that... I don't know what they were doing with Viola Davis's character. Like,
oh yeah,
I really like Amanda Waller as a character. Like, she's an asshole, but you know, she was like moustache twirling crazy.
Yeah, yeah. She's not meant to be that. She's meant to be.
She's meant to be cold and manipulative.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like the people that turned Lex Luthor into some fucking
oh my god
startup tech bubble entrepreneur from San Francisco into.
Yeah.
Like, he was terrible.
Which had already, like, that, you know, comic book movies had done a misstep with that character already with Sam Rockwell's character in Iron Man 2.
Oh, Justin Hammer.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, over the top, annoying.
Yeah.
And even to an extent, Guy Pearce's character in Iron Man 3 is the same character.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
It's like, this hasn't worked twice. Why would you do it a third time?
Yeah, I wonder about Suicide Squad. I wonder. You can't help but think. Did you guys look at the reviews for Batman vs Superman, and then the first reaction to the trailer?
Mm.
And then suddenly there was all these musical.
Oh, don't even get me started on the fucking soundtrack. It was like someone was skipping around to the playlist of Gold.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just, you know, snippets. It was like, you know, when you can listen to like 10 seconds of a song on iTunes.
Yeah.
It was like that. It was like listening to a compilation of like, what's the best songs of all time? And now let's ruin them all.
Yeah. And we will. You know,
which I think they've borrowed from Guardians of the Galaxy, but Guardians of the Galaxy choose the cheesiest and most stupid songs.
No, but it was, well, you know, David Bowie's Moon Age Daydream. But... But it was ingrained.
Yeah.
She gave him a mixtape.
Yes, it was part of the story.
So the mixtape is part of the story and, you know.
Seeing Will Smith shoot at people while Eminem is screaming at me, I didn't really know why it was there.
No, I don't know either. I just like...
But there were so many, like, old, like, almost like they'd focus group tested all of the songs.
Yeah.
Like, what's your favourite song ever? And it's all these favourite songs peppered throughout Suicide Squad. Whereas Guardians of the Galaxy are just weird, dorky shit. Like, the Pina Colada song.
Oh, yeah.
And just like the daggiest songs ever.
Yeah, funny stuff.
Like, what's the song in the new trailer that was, I was pissing myself at the song more than anything.
Oh, I can't think.
It's like a, isn't it like a glam metal thing? Like a...
Oh, no, it's the Sweet Ballroom
the
Blitz.
The Sweet, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great choice. It is a great choice. But you know the...
Oh, no, it's Fox on the Run.
Is it Fox on the
Run?
Oh, it's Fox on the Run. Oh, it is too. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
it's stupid.
Yeah.
But they would never have chosen anything that kind of daggy. Because everything, all the songs in Suicide Squad were so kind of like, yeah, no, this is a cool song, man. This is a cool song. This is Paint It Black. This is a cool song. We love this song. It's like, yeah, they're all good songs. They've also all been used 1,000 times in 100 movies.
Yeah.
Because they were good songs once upon a time.
You know, it just... there's just so many things that they kind of get wrong about their main characters. It's like... I know everyone's ragging on Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah.
But I just feel like... I felt like it was a perfectly legitimate interpretation of the character.
Yeah.
But it's like having Moriarty without Sherlock. Yeah. Like, you got to have him with Batman because he's defined.
Why have Batman in it at all? Like, why make a Batman movie with Batman barely in it?
Well, I just think if they were the people that Batman had caught, I'm fine with that. I like that as an idea.
Yes.
And I just think the whole film would have been so much better if it was set, you know, if you'd seen the Suicide Squad being, you know, Amanda Waller's plan. Mm. For whenever shit goes down. And then while that big battle is happening in Batman versus Superman, the Joker knows that Batman's out of Gotham.
Yeah.
So he decides he's going to make a play for all the families. So then Amanda Waller goes in with the Suicide Squad. And then the twist would be he doesn't want any of the mafioso families. He's just set up this situation to get Harley Quinn back.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your twist at the 2/3 mark.
Yeah.
And then bring in Batman right at the end.
Have you seen the cartoon? There's like, you know, those they do those feature length cartoons, DC ones.
I have not seen any of them.
They're really good.
Yeah.
But there's one called, I think it's Attack on Arkham.
Oh, yeah.
Which is exactly what this movie, I think, was trying to be.
Right.
But failed miserably. Like, everyone gets their little opening bit, like a little short bit that introduces the character.
Yeah.
And then I think one of them, their head explodes. And it's just a cute little daggy, you know, it's a small story about one tiny thing that happens and everyone gets fucked over and that's the end.
Right.
And it's, I've never really thought the Suicide Squad was a great idea anyway, because, you know, when it first started, they killed off like 3 people in issue. Like, because they had such a huge backlog of shitty villains no one wanted to see ever again.
Oh, yeah. It's all in the wake of Crisis, the original Crisis. So you've got all these characters that you need to do something with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Joel Kinnaman was terrible.
Oh, yeah. He did not have a lot to work with, did he? It was such a one-note character. I thought he's...
I mean, even Will Smith wasn't much chop. And he normally brings his own charisma to things.
He definitely still has that thing where you look at him and you go, oh, man, you do have that thing where you stand out from everyone. But, you know, Cara Delevingne, that was just a terrible... Like, what was that all about? Why does everything
wriggling.
Have to... Sorry?
She was wriggling far too much.
Oh, yeah. I know. I felt like I should have been into that.
Were you into Margot Robbie running around in her underpants with a bat?
I don't know. Just you would be a liar to say she didn't look great... But I just felt like if it'd been better writing, having her dress like that and taking advantage of it more would have been great.
Yeah.
But it felt like hey, look at the way she's dressed. She's taking advantage of that. And then I didn't really feel like... Then it felt like, and here's a big shot of her ass bending over as she picks up a...
Well, that scene of her in the club where Joker's being all Scarface-y and she's writhing around the pole. I'm like, oh, see, now I don't feel like she's owning it. Now I feel like she's just doing what she's told.
Yeah, I agree. That scene would have been so much more interesting if she was sitting alongside Joker yelling at someone else. Imagine that exact scene with her sitting alongside Joker yelling at some guy dressed up like her.
Yeah.
Made to dance. And then that guy, you know, they have that rapport. That was the last person who crossed us. How's it working out for you? And then he says, you know, $7.80 an hour. Like, you know, there you go. That's a funnier joke than anything that happened in the Suicide Squad. And I didn't even try, people.
Too many face tattoos. Like, I didn't understand the prevalence of face tattoos.
By the way, like, you deserve to be incinerated by your boyfriend if you are shocked that with those tattoos, he is maybe not a good guy.
I don't know what my husband does at work. I mean, he's got a full face tattoo of a skull, but I think he works at the bank.
Right. What are you doing? Like, seriously, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was all like, it was like with Watchmen.
Yeah.
I think it was too, like Watchmen, the comic came out at a perfect time.
Right.
Because it had been, what, like 50 years of comic books or something, whatever. Like, superheroes had been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, comic book movies, like superhero movies, they haven't really... We haven't really had the glut of fun ones.
Yeah.
For it to have earned a dark and nasty one.
Yeah. Now, one thing they did get right was in making Nightwing... Night Owl, sorry, look like a... his costume looked like an early Tim Burton Batman costume. And it was like, oh yeah, you kind of got it right there.
Yeah. It's like they would try, like, yeah. Like the comic came out at the right time. The movie I felt like was, again, it was too early. It's like, oh, we can do this now. Let's do it. It's like, no, wait till people are sick of comic books.
Yeah. They should do it as a series.
They should do it as a series.
Do it as a series.
Speaking of series, oh my God, when I was flying to Shanghai, was flicking through the plane and couldn't find anything. I watched Finding Dory, which is the most adorable thing of all time.
Oh, right. Yeah, and how full on is the wading pool?
Oh, my God, terrifying.
With their bush, bush. And it's like, oh, yeah, that is exactly what it would be like.
Also, how adorable is, like, everyone going, Sigourney Weaver told us to come here.
Yeah. That's great.
So I watched that, and then Gary went to sleep, so I watched Supergirl. Oh, the first season was in the back of whoever's head was in front of me on the planet.
Right.
What a cute show.
Right.
It is the cutest show I've seen in ages.
Yeah.
It is so adorable. And I'd also, weirdly, at the same time, I'd been watching The Night Manager, which I love.
Right.
I think it's maybe my favorite
show. Is
that
Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston, Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
Like Hugh Laurie, who's just fucking awful.
Yeah.
But amazing. It's a great cast. It's incredible. And, you know, 6 episodes, proper British thing. John Le Carre, one and done.
Yeah,
it's
great. Awesome. Great.
So, yeah, we'd watched that on the plane as well. And David Harwood, who's in both of them, is in Supergirl as... I don't want to spoil it in case you watch the first 4 episodes.
I probably won't. Is he the Martian Manhunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already been... I saw that in something rather.
He's one of these great British character actors who's gone, yeah, no, this is a good check.
Yeah.
He's just having too much fun with it. Like, you know, there are scenes... I think he also plays Cyborg Superman at one point. Like, he's, like, going to town.
Right.
And also, like, the casting is really cute. Like, Supergirl's parents are Helen Slater, who played Supergirl in the 70s, and Dean Cain.
Oh, right, I didn't know that. I didn't know Dean Cain was in it. That's cute.
Helen
Slater still looks amazing.
Yeah.
He still looks pretty fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look great. It's such a cute, daggy show. And this week in America, they just had...
They had that weird crossover.
Yeah, which was Invasion. Remember the Invasion storyline?
Yeah, the Dominators.
That spun out the Doom Patrol came out of.
Yeah, and was it good?
It was really daggy, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know, you kind of went, okay, this show have gone, oh, we can't do much with this, so we're going to do this.
Right.
And, you know, they each had different people crossing backwards and forwards. And it was just, it's really daggy and fun. There's really cute jokes. Like, there's a cute joke where Brandon Routh, who plays the Atom, looks at Supergirl and goes, you know, she looks a bit like my cousin.
Oh, right.
Really daggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. Was the Superman, Supergirl, Superman in it?
No. Because it was on a different network, like now they're on the same network, but when it first started, it was on a different network. So when the Flash was in it, he accidentally crossed into her universe.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a different, like, you know, like Earth 2 kind of thing. Like, she's in a different universe.
Oh, right.
So she had to come through a portal to help out.
Right.
But yeah, Superman hasn't been in Supergirl much this year at all.
Right.
They've had a really...
I saw the thing with them catching a plane and it was pretty adorable.
So adorable.
Yeah.
Did I send you the one where the guy shoots him with the bullets and he's like, and then he punches him and goes, if the bullets didn't work, why do people always go for the punch?
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Bit of a...
It's really funny.
Bit of a confused, witty Superman.
Yeah.
Which
the guy punches him and he's like, clutching his hand, like, you know, which is quite a stereotypical thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't get it. They're, like, the bullets don't work and then they go for the punch. Like, yeah. What?
Yeah. Funny.
They're just cute shows. And they even had, like, the Hall of Justice, like, from the old Super Friends cartoon.
Yeah, right.
Like, just the building. Like, it wasn't the Hall of Justice. It was some other shit thing from their world. But it just, you know... They've obviously gone to the effort of making it. They've gone, look, this is cute for fanboys. It's a cute little...
So, Arrow, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow takes place in one universe.
Yeah.
Supergirl takes place in another.
Yeah. So, in that universe, in the Arrowverse, as they call it, it's they're all metahumans.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Supergirl universe, it's all the superpowered people are aliens.
Right.
Like, the opening of the show, it's like, you know, the opening of Smallville, where there's the meteor comes down with the rocket and then everyone gets these weird meteor powers.
Mm.
In this one, Supergirl has come out of the Phantom Zone.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, her spaceship was trapped in the Phantom Zone, which is why she's younger than Superman, but she left when she was older.
Right.
Because she was meant to look after him because he was only a baby.
Yep.
and so she, when she gets out of the Phantom Zone, she also comes with... like a giant fort full of Kryptonian criminals.
Oh, right.
So there's all these, not just Kryptonian, but like all sorts of aliens.
Right.
So the world is full of aliens.
Great. So there's all your villains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
And, you know, there's a whole kind of like storyline of, you know, intolerance and, you know, there's Lex Luthor's sister who runs L Corp, as it's called now. Because she changed the name because Lex Corp was just... too tarnished.
Right. What's happened to Lex?
He's in prison.
Right.
He's bad.
Right.
But then you've got like Lex's mum is like a bad guy as well. Like it's a great fun thing. Calista Flockhart has left, which is sad because I was enjoying her hammy acting.
Didn't they move where they film it? Is that what?
Yeah, it was in LA and now it's moved to Vancouver. And I think she's just gone, oh no.
Doesn't she appear now and again?
Yeah.
Right.
She's still, like, her character's still in it, but.
Yeah.
She hasn't been in it this year so far. She was in the first couple of episodes.
Right.
And Maxwell Lord completely disappeared. He was like Peter Facinelli was playing that character.
Oh, right.
He was like the main bad guy and he's just gone off the radar.
Right.
He's no longer in it. But yeah, it's a fun... It's just... All of those DC shows are so cute and so daggy.
So weird, the divide between DC...
I know.
TV and DC movies.
I'm really enjoying Legends as well, which... I hated last year.
And did you?
Kind of barely put up with. Yeah.
Right.
But this year is really cute. Like, they had...
Have they gotten over that? Because isn't it... Aren't they all the creators big fans of Doctor Who?
Yeah, they've given up on Doctor Who. Now they're making essentially the Avengers.
Right.
But time travellers.
Right.
They've gotten rid of Rory from Doctor Who. He's disappeared.
Ah. Arthur Darvill.
Yeah. But they've got...
Isn't that Rip Hunter?
Yeah.
Ah, so how are they travelling through time?
They're just in his spaceship.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But yeah, they go back, they meet the JSA, which is awesome.
Oh, do they really?
At one point. And then they travel, so they meet the JSA in like the 50s or the 40s, just during the war, just in the 40s. And then they go to the 80s, and it's like the Reagan administration. It's ridiculous, big shoulder pads and everything. And they bump into Obsidian, who they had met when he was in the JSA.
Oh, right.
But now he's played by old mate from Aliens and the Terminator.
Yeah, for Kodo.
No. The
Michael Biehn.
No, the old guy. Lance Henriksen. Who's really old now.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he always looked really old, but now he's really old.
Now he is old,
And he plays Obsidian, and it's so... Like, it's just cute. It's just such a cute show. They're all really daggy and fun and...
Yeah, right.
Mindless. You don't have to really... You can just have them on.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit down and pay attention to every last detail. It's not like Westworld.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where you have to, monitor everything that happens.
Well, that's how I started in... that's how I started enjoying Luke Cage, was having it on in the background.
Mm. Yeah, apparently it's quite slow, but I've not seen Luke Cage.
Lots of great... ingredients, like pretty much an all-black cast, which is amazing, and a lot of the ideas are really good, but they make about halfway through, they make a storytelling decision that's like, oh, I feel like that was a mistake, because that may have been your most interesting character.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just a bit boring. Like, I feel like the script's just not strong enough. But even though there's lots of good ideas.
It's not full of zombie ninjas, though, is it? So that's got to be a good thing.
Oh, after Daredevil season two. But, you know, like, you know, there's that bit where Foggy in court does some big speech and everyone tells you how, oh my God, that was amazing, Foggy.
But it was
terrible.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's that kind of standard of the script. Though there's something really powerful about, black men start wearing hoodies with bullet holes in them as solidarity for Luke Cage, which is when you take it into the real world account, is really powerful stuff with what happens in America. I found that quite moving, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of like accidentally an incredibly powerful image.
I think they knew what they were doing.
No, I just mean
around the rest of it. I just meant
he's been around since the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
So for now, when, you know, so many black men are shot in America, like, to have a superhero who is bulletproof.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is like it's an accidental thing that's become like a really powerful.
Yeah. And the hoodie with the bullet holes is amazing. But it's, you know, like, I'm starting to get like the Fantastic Four movie with Miles Teller was the first one that I just kind of went, oh, that's right, I don't have to see all of these.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get that way.
I was on a flight back from Perth and it was on the plane. I was watching something else. I know I was reading a comic book and I just kept looking up going, oh, this looks terrible.
Yeah.
Why does her hair keep changing colour?
Yeah, right. Is that because they got her back for reshoots?
Yeah, they did reshoots and they stuck this cheap-ass blonde wig on her.
Oh, God, right. I didn't know that. But yeah, I'm starting to feel that way about the TV series, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'll just get to a point where I won't need to watch all of these.
Yeah. I feel like that. I got, like, again, that was a breakfast radio thing. Like, I just, because I had to watch so much shit television I didn't want to watch. Like, your MKRs and your X-Factors and your, you know, blocks and things like that. I just got to a point where I was like, oh, I have to sacrifice some of the things I enjoy watching. And so you just pick and choose what you really want to watch. Like, you know, we finished Westworld this week and I was like, last night I was like, do you want to watch Telly? And Gary goes, I don't want to watch the rest of Mr. Robot. And I'm like, yeah, it's depressing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a big fan.
I liked it. I was like, we're only halfway through season two, but I just was like, I don't know if I want to go there.
Yeah,
like,
right.
This is one thing I love about the DC shows is they never really, like, even when they go to a terrible place, it's never all the way there.
Right.
You know, that's just a bit depressing.
Right.
Like, they had an episode recently where, everyone was in, it was in Arrow, and Arrow is like the bleakest of the four, but everyone was in like a shared hallucination of what if everything was good, what if everything was just fine and we never had to worry. And and they, you know, great casting decision, brought back a whole bunch of dead characters.
Oh, right. Yep.
You know, as if they're alive and everything's fine. So, you know, you've got all these. And also they've killed off so many great actors in that show. You're like, oh, I want Susanna Thompson back. but yeah, so it was good, but it was never, you never got to that really heart wrenching, oh, we've got to kill all our friends to make this world back to the way it was. Why can't we, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's not real, is it? You know, they never really go to that really bleak place.
Right.
Which a lot of other shows, I'm like, I just am getting, like, I love good drama, but I just sometimes get worn down by it. I want to watch something that's fun. Like, sometimes TV should be an escape.
Right. Oh, well, then maybe Mr. Robot is not for you.
And I liked it. I loved the first series. Mm. And I probably will sit down and watch it all. Like, I watched most of the second season of The Leftovers on the plane. Because I was like, oh, yeah, I feel like... Because I'd been on holidays for 2 weeks. I'm like, I've just had 2 weeks of fluff and fun. Now I can have, you know, a couple of hours of really intense drama.
Mm.
So I think it's just a brain space thing. Maybe it's just my life's too traumatic. I can't deal with the
maybe.
Real.
I don't know. I'm the opposite. I think I watch so much shit because of radio.
Yeah.
I just want something substantial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
That's what, like, Mad Men was one of my most favorite things when I was doing radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because it was so meaty. And it was, you know, and I, like, working in radio, you're essentially working in advertising. Like, you're only there to make noise in between the commercials.
Mm.
Like, you're just there to stop people changing the channel in between the commercials. That is the main job you have.
Yeah.
And, yeah, watching how much they agonized over commercials, you go, yeah, it's really self-important fucking industry. And everyone takes themselves far too seriously and they're all mental.
Yeah, what a bunch of cunts.
Yeah.
I do miss
Mad Men. I miss...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I miss the Don and Peggy and...
Because they've kind of had a crack at doing period shows a lot around it and no one ever really got on top of it.
Yeah, I think people underestimated how funny Mad Men was.
It was hilarious. Like even when it was like...
It's incredibly droll.
Like, remember when the guy got run like...
Oh, the lawnmower.
The lawnmower. Yeah,
that's great. So really, they were really good at those kinds of, this is a, you know, this is a realistic show. And then here's something outrageous happening where you go, oh my Lord.
It's ridiculous.
That was so good.
And awful and funny and...
How did you cope with the end, the finale of Westworld then, if you were feeling like everything's a bit full on? I loved it.
I loved it. I don't know. I mean, Westworld's kind of like a counterpoint, I guess. But, I mean, there is... And I know this is going to sound like a weird thing to say because it is actually quite a bleak and horrific show, but there's like a... There's a level of optimism in it.
That the robots will become sentient and destroy everyone.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is depressing, but, you know...
Is it? I'm on the robot side.
They've painted all the humans as truly awful people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is, you know... Look at the internet. Isn't it amazing? What do we use it for? Porn. Like, it is that taken to its most obscene degree.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is... It's almost like a comment on those hideous YouTube videos where people just prank each other all the time. And that's the most popular thing on the internet.
Right.
And they've created a world where that is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go, oh, my God, if this is the escape... And, like, I forget which one of the characters says it. Is it Tandy Newton's character? He says... Mm. You know, if this is your recreation, how fucked is your real world?
Oh yeah, like, I was thoroughly enjoying everyone running around saying the gods are soft and weak. And,
yeah,
you know, it was great.
It did make me think a lot. I want to go back and watch Battlestar Galactica now because I feel like
it did give me a feel. I feel like out of everything that everyone talks about with the show, you know, like because I at one point I thought there was. Did you think, oh, we're going to get a whole lot of Tandy Newtons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. And that's what made me think of Battlestar Galactica. My God, are we going to get lots of versions of Six?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
will be great. Yeah, yeah. I was totally into that. I was totally into the fact that, by the way, everyone, you've had plenty of opportunity to see it. But spoilers.
Not really. It was on Monday.
Well, so anyway, it's not my fault. Take responsibility for yourself. Like I haven't watched
your subscription to Foxtel.
I haven't watched Supergirl, and now I know Martian Manhunter's in it, and that's on me. So if you don't want to know things, turn it off, and turn it off, and now you're back. So anyway, I was getting so frustrated with people, you know, like, oh yeah, that's obviously going to be the Man in Black when he's grown up, and then it has, oh yeah, we knew that was happening, and it's like. That to me wasn't the interesting thing in that scene. The interesting thing in that scene was Dolores' reaction to it.
Realizing, oh, no, you have been him all along.
Yeah, and then her turn of, look how old you are. Look at the way you're falling apart. And then her awakening into this Wyatt character is fucking great.
Oh.
And
do you know what I think? Like, I read an interesting article where they were talking about, you know, the internet kind of overanalyzing the show and almost spoiling it for itself. And I'm like, just don't interrogate it that deeply. Like, it's a TV show. Or just don't read stuff. Yeah. It's like the only people I ever interrogated it with were you, my sister, Gary, and then I think Dill on the weekend. We talked about it and he just watched it today.
Rove and I would squirrel ourselves away in a corner at radio. Yeah.
And it's just like that. Like, the only things I knew about it were the things that I knew and that I talked to you guys about and then, you know, our group mind. But I didn't want to go on the internet. I didn't want to, you know, like when Lost was on, I got into a period where I was listening to podcasts.
Oh, yeah, it was
reading,
great.
Reading, you know, flashback things. Oh, and, mate. You know,
I was
still on broadcast television and we didn't record them and then watch them back religiously like crazy. Yeah. But, yeah. I wanted to know if that photo that of the sister was the same photo that they found in the first episode, which my sister pointed out. And I'm like, I don't know. So I went back and I just watched it on the recordings. And I'm like, well, there we go. I didn't have to go on the internet and read 4,000 other stupid theories.
All right, yeah.
And I was happy with what it was. I was fine.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I've been a little bit flabbergasted by critics picking fault with it. And I don't give a fuck if they didn't like it. I just want it to be... I don't care if anyone likes the shit that I like. I actually would prefer it that less people like the shit that I like.
Yeah.
Because I like to feel elitist. But which is... sounded like a joke, but was actually a fact. And
you're the true hipster.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the first to get to it. I just don't want anyone else to catch up.
No, I don't mind some people liking it, but I want them to like it correctly.
Yeah.
So, the way they should like
what
it.
What do you feel about... I read a couple of things where someone was whinging about...
Oh, sorry. So, I just want things to do well enough that they keep getting made.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. Yeah. I don't need everyone to be in on it.
Mm.
But I just need it to be successful enough. Like, I'm rapt that The Leftovers, you know, like, it dropped so many people watching it from the first season to the second season. Mm. And the first season wasn't that great. But they're getting to finish it on their terms in the third season. And I'm rapt. I'm rapt that it's just our sliver.
Yeah.
That are in, have that you, know have you that heard it's that the best show on TV.
They're not doing Bloodline. Like, the next series of Bloodline is the last.
Oh, yeah.
They've just gone, nah. Because it's expensive, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, I like that's weird, but I kind of am impressed at people going, yeah, let's just stop it. Let's stop it when we've had enough. I'm also excited about the fact that, and I know this is going to hurt, that there won't be Westworld until 2018.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If they're taking their time with it. Like,
well, this one apparently was meant to come out last year.
Yeah.
And they went, no, hang on, we need to take some time. And... I read a thing where they were saying, you know, like, I didn't read anything about it until after it was finished, where they said, you know, they took time because they really actually needed time. Normally people say they take time off which is bullshit because things are fucked and they've got to fix them. But they were like, apparently they went, oh, we don't have the luxury of, you know, with Game of Thrones, there's books and books and books like about.
Oh, yeah.
So they can go back to the source material. Same with True Blood. There were books, whereas Westworld, they've created themselves based on two films in the 70s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had to kind of like go, oh, no, we need to do some more world building here and, you know, create where they are so it makes sense to us as well as everyone else. And they've gone, well, yeah, it's going to take us at least 2 years to do the next series, which I think is great.
Well, I saw Jonathan Nolan said it was 3 years between Batman films. And he says he feels like he's making a compromise, just making it. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's, you know, as Evan Rachel Wood, is that her name?
Oh, my God.
Who's so good. Online said, hey, you know how you're worrying that it won't be seen till 2018? In a month, it's 2017.
Yeah.
And you go, well, it's not that far away.
Yeah. It's not really.
So that's all right. But I like that they've done this with The Leftovers. We didn't get any leftovers this year. But it's like, just make it good.
Also, the other thing with the new way we watch television, like, there's no need for a broadcast schedule.
Mm.
You can take your time to create something amazing.
I wish they'd taken another 6 months with Daredevil.
I wish they'd taken a whole another 18 months with Daredevil.
Yeah.
Because that first season was great.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the first season.
It was too long, but I liked it.
It was too long, but that you can give that
but that's what I loved about
criticism to all the Marvel Netflix shows.
But, you know, Westworld, it's like, yeah, yeah, we took an extra 12 months and it's been really good for it. And you go, take 2 years. I don't care.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other things. I still haven't caught up with Mr. Robot. I'll be fine. I've got plenty of things to watch.
There's heaps of things to watch.
Yeah.
But,
and that's the way we watch things now. So why do they have to come out every year? Yeah. Why do they have to come out every week? Or
yeah.
Do you know what I have been enjoying every week? Netflix show Designated Survivor, which is a weekly show on, I think it's like on NBC or ABC or one of those networks in America. But Netflix have the Australian rights for it.
So oh, right.
It comes out once a week. And it is terrible, but amazing.
Right.
It's my. Have you seen anything about it?
No,
it's,
I have no idea.
Oh, it's Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, sorry. Is he somehow the president?
Yeah, they do this. Like, this is an actual thing. I heard it on a This American Life podcast once. They do this thing called the Designated Survivor, where one member of the cabinet and one member of the Congress are not allowed to be at the State of the Union address, which is where the president addresses both houses of parliament.
Yep.
And so because the entire, you know, legislative part of America is in one building. Mm. They have to keep a couple of people away.
Just okay, shit goes down.
Yeah. And Kiefer Sutherland becomes the president. And it is seriously the most daggy show you've ever watched. But
yeah,
it's
right.
kind of awesome.
Right.
Like Ashley Zuckerman's in it, you know, the guy that's in The Code, you know, that Aussie thing
with
he's really good. Virginia Madsen's in it. She's great.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She's being a moustache twirling evil member of Congress.
Right.
One of the only ones left. And Maggie Q. Like, it is the weirdest right. cast. But, and it is really deeply stupid.
Right.
Like, it's really stupid.
Is it more like a Scandal?
It's not as daggy a Scandal.
Mm.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like a cross between 24 and The West Wing.
Oh right, okay.
You know, so it's a bit action oriented, and then, you know, they'll have a very serious moment in the White House.
Right.
And, you know, there's some questions over the paternity of the president's son. Like, it's really daggy.
Right.
But I've been kind of enjoying it again, like is it like, you know, things that you go, hey, this show doesn't take itself too seriously at all.
Yeah.
Like, it just goes, ah yeah. This is
what we're doing.
Yeah, this is the daggy kind of shit we're pulling. It's this like, did you watch The Blacklist?
I've seen episodes of it because I've reviewed it. Yeah, that kind of level. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Like it's an action show. Like it's like Alias or like, you know, like 24. It's like an action-based show which has some alleged drama.
Right, right. Okay, that makes sense.
But mostly it's, you know, anytime there's an action scene, it's Maggie Q running around and jumping through windows.
Yeah, right. Funny. I thoroughly enjoyed in Westworld, the fact that Tandy Newton's character makes a decision for herself right at the end.
Yeah.
Like, that's her first decision that's she's made. Yeah, which was great.
Which was amazing.
I thought her acting, and I know you have not been a fan, but I think
she's been amazing in this, and I'm really upset.
She's been great. It
really hurts me, because I've hated her in so many things.
Well, she's been great in this.
She's been so incredible.
Yeah.
Like, and naked great. Like, you just go, fuck, you are pulling off some incredible, incredible acting while sitting there with your boobs hanging out.
I think the cast did a whole thing, like the people working on it did a naked photo for her or something to just kind of make up for the fact that she's had to be naked.
She's always nude on set.
Yeah, something like that, which I thought was really cute.
But, like, she's just, you know, that is where I go, fuck, you are working your ass off. You are doing a really good job because, you know, it's being naked is difficult at the best of times, especially in a room full of people with the cameras shooting.
I'm going to be honest, the only time I feel comfortable naked is when I'm wearing my Captain America thongs that you bought me and I'm standing on the balcony looking at a supermoon with binoculars.
Oh, my God. I had to get a...
Looking like a sex pest.
An ultrasound on my nuts yesterday, which is the most confronting thing I've ever done in my life. And it went...
Are you pregnant in your balls?
I'm having two babies.
Oh, my God. I hope they're not anaphylactic. That would be ironic.
But, yeah, like, it's just for hours, this woman, like...
Hours?
It wasn't hours. It was probably about 15 minutes. But just... You know, like, and more lube than I've ever used in my entire life. Right. And I've used a lot of lube.
Yep. Yeah. I heard what you were saying about fairies before. Keep going.
Just like, you just go, But when something like that is happening, you just go, oh, well, this is happening. This is...
Yeah, I guess this is happening.
You know, yep. all those terrible dreams I had about being places with no clothes on. Here I am with a woman sticking a fucking ultrasonic device and rubbing it around my nutsack.
Yeah. This is nothing like Doctor Who. Nothing like it. But I... So, yeah, her decision... So I did read a thing that Jonathan Nolan said where... and it's so subtle, but what they did was all the shots are static, and then when she makes a decision, it becomes a handheld.
Yeah,
which that's interesting. That's clever.
Because there was like, in Ford's speech where he's talking about Dolores making a decision, you go, is she though? Isn't this just one big long loop?
Because
she's done this before.
She's found her way to the maze and...
And was that programmed? Had Arnold programmed that without meaning? Like, he knew that that was the outcome of the programming.
Right.
So...
But she had... Yeah. It just throws up so many questions.
Yeah, but whereas with Maeve, you go, oh, no, you did make a decision.
Yeah, at that point. I thought that last... I read some... things where even people praising it, because I did a bit of reading after it was finished as well, and people were saying, oh yeah, Hopkins was great chewing the scenery, and it's like, I just didn't think he chewed the scenery at all. I thought he was
just perfect.
I thought he was pitch perfect. I loved all of his scenes with Jeffrey Wright. I was, you know, that, and it was, I loved that it kept me wrong footed right till the very end, where I didn't know if Ford was the good guy or the bad guy. And it turned out he was kind of the good guy, but in a really bad way.
In a really bad way.
Yeah. You know? So that's... And I loved his last speech.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Because the other thing is, like, the meta text of that is... Ooh. Is like... It's almost like the whole show has been about our viewing habits. Like, you know, the way we watch television now. That we want beheadings and we want rape and we want all this... awful stuff. We want to see all that stuff on television.
Yeah.
And this show is saying, this is what you want. Why do you want it? What is the net result of your desires? What does what you watch say about you? What does what you do in this park say about you as a person? What are you learning about you? Like, it's... I love that whole part of it. Like, and almost his speech was a speech about... writing a television show.
Yeah.
About creating entertainment. Yeah. Like, it was a... Yeah.
I thought Jonathan Nolan did a great job of direction.
Yeah.
As well. I thought it was a really...
Because he used to times occasionally... It felt a bit, didn't he occasionally direct the... What was the other one he used to
person
do?
Person of Interest?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I never...
I watched a few of them. It was cute and daggy.
I've heard it was... Yeah. Will's a big fan.
I like Taraji P. Henson. I would watch her do anything.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt a little bit, at times, it felt a little bit Soderbergh. You know, when Soderbergh gets that cold feeling, which is a compliment, by the way. That moment with Dolores and Teddy, and I was watching it, and I was like, oh, this is really moving. And then it was like, oh, God, this script's gotten a bit cliched. And then boom. Yeah. And I was like, oh, you got me. Yeah. Well done.
The pullback.
Poor Teddy.
Which kind of was almost like, for me, it felt like, have you ever seen the final moment of that terrible show, The Hills?
No.
The final ever moment is like...
Hang on, what's The Hills?
Oh, it's like a reality-style show.
Right.
It's about a bunch of LA assholes or being assholes to one another.
Is it a fictional show about a reality TV show, or is it a reality TV show?
It's a reality TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're all real people, supposedly. Right. But the final episode, there was like a pullback and reveal of the production process. And it was a fake backdrop and just how much artifice was involved in the show, essentially.
Oh, right.
Like that, you know, everyone bought into these people as if they're real people doing real things.
Oh.
And the reality was it had all been staged.
Oh.
Which reality TV, like if a reality TV show looks amazing, then yes, it has been staged. That lighting does not happen by accident.
No.
Like those Real Housewives shows.
And sometimes you have to rejig the narrative when you realize that none of the guys on The Bachelorette like The Bachelorette.
You do.
You have to change it. As I was talking to Julia Morris and Dr. Chris Brown, and I was saying
the vet.
Yeah, I was saying I said, oh God, I wish you guys had been hosting The Bachelorette, because I felt really sorry for Osher because he's such a sincere guy.
He's so earnest, and I love him.
But you could see the panic in his eyes. I thought. Of everyone, oh my God, like I like, because you could see that he could tell. Yeah. And he's like, hey. Whereas I think they would have just called it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I love Tessa Thompson as well. I'm a big fan of hers. I only recently discovered her through Creed, and I think she's in something else as well. Is she going to be in Black Panther as well?
Maybe.
Because I know Michael B. Jordan's in it as the bad guy, ooh, which means I'll be on the bad guy side. Come on! I love that kid. Love him. Love him. But
have you got Marvel fatigue yet? I've got a bit of Marvel fatigue.
With the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed Civil War, but I don't really care where it goes from here.
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch them.
I thoroughly enjoyed Civil War when I was watching it, and then...
You never want to watch it again?
I don't know. I kind of... You know what I am tempted to do is I actually have the three Cap movies, and I'd like to watch them and see how they kind of hold together. I saw someone trying to say that was better than the Dark Knight trilogy, and I just thought, well, that person never needs to talk to me again, because that is fucking ridiculous. That's like saying, you know, a fucking pop song by some fucking asshole is as good as anything the Beatles wrote. Anyway, I can't think of any examples.
All right, I haven't read any books this... Oh, no, I have read one book this year. I was going to say I don't have any books, but I read one book this year, which was on holidays. I read Crosstalk by Connie Willis. He's my favourite author ever.
Yep.
And it was as cute and funny and stupid as anything I could possibly hope to read. It's about... It's kind of like set now-ish. Like, there's even a joke about Brandon Angelina, so clearly it's dated.
Yeah. Who would have thought they'd break up?
But yeah, they've discovered that you can have an operation so that you and your significant other can feel each other's emotions.
Oh, that sounds like the worst.
No, you can't hear each other's thoughts.
Right.
It's just like you can feel emotions kind of thing. And she works at a... The main character works at a phone company, but it's not a big phone company. It's not like Apple, but you know, like they're always chasing around Apple. It's like, what are they doing? Can we get on top of them kind of thing?
Right.
And then there's a disastrous side effect at the end of like the third chapter, and it becomes this hilarious screwball comedy.
That oh, right.
I was just flipping pages and laughing hysterically at.
Right. Great.
And just loving.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you've read heaps of books. You read all the time.
I did all right, actually. I still didn't read anywhere near as many books as I would have liked. I read I thoroughly enjoyed Richard Fadler's book.
Ghost Empire. You said
that
was great.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. I really enjoyed the third part of the Justin Cronin trilogy.
Which is what? There's the 12 and the mirrors and the.
Was it the 12? I can't remember. It's just over there, actually. It's so funny how.
But it's something of mirrors. You were reading
something
that.
Of mirrors. It's City of Mirrors.
City of Mirrors.
The 12 was the second one. That's right. Which I thoroughly enjoyed as well. What else did I read? Hang on a sec. Keep talking.
Why do I have to keep talking? You're the one with the books. Have I told you my weird reading problem? I have this thing where black text on white paper jiggles around in my eyes. Like, not to the extent as it does for, say, someone who's dyslexic, but just enough that I find it hard. Like, I'm a really slow reader of text, and I...
It's because you're doing too much reading.
But it's just...
In everyday life.
Yeah, it jiggles, and then I just go, oh, I can't deal with it after all. Which is why I love comic books, because, you know, they're big pictures. And the text is small and not much of it.
Yep.
So I just go, oh, yeah, that's the talking bits.
I read a Jonathan Carroll novel, which was great. And I read Zealot by John Shelby Spong, I think it was. Mm. Oh, no, not John Shelby Spong. Reza Aslan.
Right.
Which was talking about the revolutionary times of what Jesus of Nazareth would have been like.
So now,
that was good.
When I was doing the radio, I had trouble reading fiction whatsoever.
Mm.
But non-fiction, I could chew up like no one's business.
Yeah, I haven't been enjoying fiction as much, but I guess I also read...
I wonder what that is. Like the...
I read 5 to 10 comics a week, so I'm getting a lot of fiction there.
But I couldn't even read comic books at night time. Like, that'd be a holidays thing. I would read comics on the holidays.
I don't feel like I'm...
Because your real life is so insane that no one could ever possibly capture anything quite like that in fiction without sounding like they're bullshitting.
I just felt tired. I just feel dumber at the end of the year after spending spending all this time in commercial radio. I just feel like a...
It's Bieber exposure, I call it.
Oh, God. Also, I just want to hang out with... anyway, whatever. I'm about to go down a path that no one needs to hear about. But, just people who are curious for the world.
Yeah. I think that was the thing I liked about Westworld was that, you know, while the robots were, you know, in their loops, there was like, it's almost like they had a curiosity beyond what they were. Mm. Whereas the humans were all like, no, this is just the way things are.
Yeah, you know.
Deal with it.
So the people were complaining that some of these critics, Alan Sepinwall, who I usually agree with on a lot of things, really didn't enjoy Mr. Robot Season 2 or this as much. And and because I like him and I think he's articulate, I would read his stuff because I'm curious. I don't mind. You know, like we joke about it, but you never mind hearing a
counterpoint.
A counterpoint if it's someone who's followed it through.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that the humans were all two-dimensional and the robots were, burgeoning with their personalities. And, yeah. And, I don't know.
I love the creepy necro that was rooting the robots.
Oh, yeah, right? Jesus Christ. But, you know, but I
talked about him earlier, but you never really saw.
And then you got to...
And then you got to see him, like, really going to... And I love so many people, like, you know, it's kind of a comment on how gorgeous Rodrigo Santoro is as a human being. But, like, everyone wanted to fuck him.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was, like, everyone's plaything.
Yeah, everyone wanted to get stuck into him.
The robots and humans alike.
Yeah. Yeah, funny, right? I thought all of that was a really interesting statement on current affairs in many a way. I thoroughly... as you're not a Radiohead fan, that last bit of music was exit music for a film from OK Computer, which they wrote for Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, which is what the quote was from.
So
that was... I was thoroughly enjoying that.
Yeah, because Romeo and Juliet's is one of those pieces where you can watch it again and again and again, and like you always hope that
they get their shit together.
Yeah, that it's not going to end the way it's going to end, even though you know, like it wouldn't be Romeo and Juliet if it ended any other way.
Oh, that's how I feel about The Great Escape. I always want Steve McQueen to get over that last thing and get away from the Nazis.
I know.
Oh, why is that not happening? Did I ever tell you? Because
that was one of those things. I was like, I didn't want Dolores to do what she had to do, but I wanted her to do it. It's that whole thing with writing. You always want the audience to go, I hope she won't. I fear she will.
Yeah.
And,
definitely.
And I felt that in intensely at the ending.
Yeah.
Like as soon as Ford started the speech, I'm like,
oh, here we go.
Fuck, she's coming around. Where is she? She's there she is.
By the way, one of the highlights of that episode as well was the look of joy on Ed Harris's face when he realizes he could get hurt.
Yes.
That was great.
Which, you know, like, yeah.
That was...
Because you realize how many years he's been completely numb to all of
just trying to get to this last thing to learn. And then he gets there and realizes this was never about me.
Yeah.
Even though he'd made it about him from...
And even that little girl said, the maze isn't for you.
Yeah. Kept saying. Like Ford was trying to tell him.
Yeah.
I
did love the fact that they were all the insane robots.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
When they go, what happens to the ones who achieve consciousness? Almost of them just go insane and they have to be turned off. It's like, oh, there they all are.
There they all are. All here's these your army. Robots. So are you excited for Samurai World? I was. That was good. I was like, oh, Samurai World. I wonder which worlds we'll get to see. I wonder if there. I wonder if there will be a future world, because then it's set in the. I feel like it's. Where do you think it's set?
I don't know. I don't know if it's meant to be now.
I feel like it's set a little bit in the future.
Next Thursday, or if it's set thousands of years from now.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, isn't it? Feels like it could be set like... If I found out it was set in 2046, I'd go, oh yeah, that seems right.
It's because like the 3D printing technology they pretty much use to build them is very real.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, they made an ear recently. Like,
yeah.
You like with, you know, organic material.
Yeah.
Like you can stick it on someone's head.
Yeah.
And it will work.
I plan on getting a few. I'm going to have four ears so I can hear.
Like we could build our own, person.
Right.
Yeah. And AI is getting to a really interesting point. Like it's, I find it weird that in all that kind of fiction, like everyone's terrified of the robots killing the humans. And it's like, but they don't need to. They can just outlive.
Like oh, yeah.
Like there's never... I never understand
that. You know what would make a more interesting story is if robots and AI became sentient and they just went around and sterilized us.
Yeah. Or that... I mean, that you know, that's... What's that movie with Clive Owen where everyone's sterile?
Oh, Children of Men.
Yeah, that's hard work.
Man, it's great though. It's great. It's up there, you know, it's one of the classic sci-fi movies that no one goes and sees, and then afterwards everyone thinks, oh, we were wrong. That was great.
Yeah, like Dredd. Everyone I know who's seen Dredd years later goes, oh my God, that film's so good. I'm like, yes, I know.
Yeah.
I told you.
Yeah. The thing I was going to say to you before was I always wanted to do a series where every episode would be an anthology series. And I thought of this like a decade ago. I mean, it's kind of the thing where you think, oh man, I feel like it would be great to pitch this to an HBO. Yeah. And what it is turning, like you wouldn't call it this, but it would be like the series would be Turning Point, and you take classic movies and you flip it at a certain point.
Yeah.
So in The Great Escape, Steve McQueen does get over. So then you follow what happens to Steve McQueen after he gets off. You know, Titanic, you would have fucking Rose moving over and making room, and then Elizabeth Jack. Like, but then you could turn it into a kitchen sink drama of their lives of
how
you know
terrible it is later on
like you know
I
imagine all the great movies that you could
one of my
twist.
Favorite comic books is coming out again next year. It's been out of print for a million years. It's called Scarlet Traces. It's Ian Edgington and Disraeli, Matt Brooker, and they originally did it as a sequel to War of the Worlds, and then they did an adaptation of War of the Worlds, and so it's coming out as the adaptation and the sequel all in one volume.
Oh, right.
They've done two sequels since. But Scarlet Traces is essentially after War of the Worlds.
Yep.
The H.G. Wells, Victorian England, and with what happens.
With all that technology.
All that technology around and the industrious, intelligent, amazing Victorians.
Yep.
Adapting it. Like retroactively fitting it into their own society and using that and then deciding to launch a retaliatory strike against Mars.
Oh, right.
Like, that's one of the things. That's like a background story. Like, the main story is just solving a crime. Like, there's some murders happening.
Right.
It's set in this world.
Great.
And you just go, yeah, there would have been all this technology left behind.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like we wouldn't have tried to work out how it worked and what drove it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
That's a great idea.
They just had the third series was in the serialized in 2000 AD, and it was set in the 60s, and it was hilarious. Like, there's all these aliens who live on Earth, and they're treated abominably.
What, from Mars?
I think they're from Venus. Like, it's some like the Martians who came have taken over a bunch of other planets.
Oh, right.
Like, they tried to take over Earth.
Right.
And they're all refugees from there. And they all live here.
Funny.
It's crazy.
2080 is great for those ideas.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I feel like that would be a great idea for a series. How long have we been recording?
Oh, probably about 2 hours.
oh yeah, we've really nailed this off. it's funny. The other series that I really enjoyed this year, so Westworld and Mr. Robot, which is pretty dark, and Black Mirror. That which is did you watch any of Black Mirror?
I only just got through because it's really hard work.
Oh Lord!
But I haven't even watched the new Netflix ones. Haven't you? Yeah, it's Gary's favorite show, but because I find it depressing, it's like sex. I need to even have a go on his birthday. No,
right. happy birthday.
But yeah, we just watched the one with Lenora Critchlow. You know, from Being Human.
Oh, that episode, yes.
Which is horrific.
Yeah.
But about halfway through, I went, I think this has happened. And yep. This is this. And didn't say it out loud. And so yep. When I got to the end, I went, oh, yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Mm.
Gary's like, how could you think that? And I'm like, I think it's too much 2018. Mm.
Yeah,
like I'm on top of this structure now.
You know, like you pick a lot of things in the. That doesn't bother me though. As long as
that made me happy because it was like, oh yeah, so it's like it was satisfying. It kind of like
yeah.
Well, I was like, no, this has not been a surprise.
Yeah,
you've given me all the clues along the way.
Yeah,
and I
well that's part of my argument with the people getting frustrated with Westworld. It's like, well, what they did was they set up a story and they set it up and followed it through correctly.
Yeah.
And so you worked it out because we're a hive mind.
Yes.
What were the Eternals? We're in the uni mind.
Yes.
Just to really fucking throw people off with that reference. And you can't be like, if you gave us a swerve, you'd feel cheated.
Yeah. It was a proper swerve. Like, you'd be like, oh, no, that can't be it. Because there was no evidence for that up till there. And it's like, yes, that is the only way you can swerve now.
Yeah, because everyone's watching everything. And, you know, just when you think...
Don't talk about it for hours with other people on the internet.
Just don't talk about it.
Out of it.
There was a part of me that wondered, you know, when you see all the lines for, you know, the music. What's that? The roller?
The pianola.
The pianola, but what's the, you know, where the music's played? Yeah. It's all those dots and dashes. I felt like getting in touch with them and saying, if you really want to blow people's minds, turn that, don't let anyone know, make that Morse code and waiting to see who fucking finds that.
I loved, was it the first episode where I was playing Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden? I was like, oh, this show's great.
Yeah, lots of people complained about that stuff. There was someone saying, who should stop using Radiohead? And it's like, nah, go fuck yourself. I really like Radiohead. And I like that Jonathan Nolan and Christopher Nolan like Radiohead. Yeah. And they put David Bowie in a film. Like, why? Look, what I'm trying to say is, I want to quit radio, and I want to work with them because I feel like we'd all be pals.
Oh, you could go work there. You could work with Ed Brubaker.
I would work with Ed Brubaker. I love Ed Brubaker. Reading Kill or Be Killed at the moment, I get all of his single issues of stuff because it's creator owned, and he really. Man, I think his stuff is great.
Well, I discovered Brubaker through my love of Sean Phillips. So
Kill or Be Killed is it's another kind of noir kind of story, but a demon makes a deal with this guy where he has to kill someone every now and again.
Oh,
yeah. So and it's turns out it's really difficult. That's great.
We've only talked about things that... Oh, no, we talked about things we like. We didn't talk about any films that we...
Oh, yeah. Well,
Suicide Squad for too long.
We should finish up.
Did you like a good movie this year?
Yeah, I'll tell you my top five films of the year, which were The Big Short. You forget The Big Short came out this year.
Oh, was that this year? It's on the Netflix already. I'll have to watch it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And it's really... that's fucking depressing.
Yeah.
But it's really... really good. Ryan Gosling's great. Christian Bale's fantastic in it. Steve Carell's really good too. Steve Carell, you oscillate back and forth how you feel about him, and at the end you go, oh, yeah, you poor bastard. really, really good. Great cameos by Margot Robbie, Bourdain, the chef.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt has a minor... Like, Brad Pitt is, like... He is, for me, the number one A-list cameo actor.
I
love him in Small Things.
I never want to see this film with him and Marion Cotillard.
Allied.
Because every time I go on the internet, it takes over my whole screen and tries playing the trailer at me. It's like, yeah, if I want to watch a trailer, I'll watch a trailer.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, you go to some websites and it just fills up your screen with a video.
Oh, Allied.
Yes.
What sites are you going? On my phone
the other day. I don't know. It's shit for work. I'm researching stuff. So I'm going to weird websites.
That's weird.
Every now and again, it'll just take over the whole screen. And I'm like, this is a way to make me never go to the movies.
Oh, I do love both of them. I'd like to see that.
I love both of them. Yeah. And I'm sure it'll be a good film, but I refuse now.
Yep.
The marketing's been terrible.
It hasn't done very well, I don't think, either. Because actors can't open movies anymore.
It's... No. Also, you know, we are dealing with the film that it was rumoured to have ended his marriage to Angelina.
Oh, yeah, when she was pregnant.
When she was pregnant.
Yeah, she was banging Brad Pitt while she was pregnant. Good on her. Good on him. Spotlight.
I didn't say it was true. I said rumoured.
Yeah, I know. I thought Spotlight was fantastic.
Was that this year? Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was... I thought that was unbelievable. Great acting across the board. Anything that has John Slattery and Michael Keaton acting their pants off a lot, opposite each other. And not... Yeah. Like, everyone's understated. Mark Ruffalo... Mark Ruffalo and Stanley Tucci in scenes together is fucking acting masterclass.
Mark Ruffalo turns up in... Because I watched that terrible director's cut of 54 and I did Cameron and Alexi's Mike Myers podcast to talk about it. And Mark Ruffalo is in like the first 10 minutes. Like, yeah, he's the best friend of Ryan Phillippe. It's Mark Ruffalo and Herc from The Wire.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Herc.
And I'm like... Why are these two people like incidental characters who get like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And yet you're concentrating an entire movie on a relationship between Selma Hayek, Ryan Phillippe, and Brecken fucking Meyer.
Like, yeah, yeah. You've made a terrible mistake, people. The other three movies that were my favorites this year were Hunt for the Wilder People, which was...
Oh, that's meant to be awesome.
Delightful. Hell or High Water, which with Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine, which I thought was outstanding. And I thought Arrival was just great.
I loved Arrival so much.
I love getting to the end of Arrival and realizing, I've been watching this incorrectly. And yeah, it's even better.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying it up until that moment.
Yeah. There was, I think it was like, yeah, during the, yeah, that conversation after the pod. And I just went, oh my God. God, this is... And then had to, like, with that thing that happens in, like, you know, especially in... you know, sometimes you see a movie that's it's out of order.
Mm.
And then you get to a point and you're like, oh, okay, now we have to watch the rest of this in order.
Mm.
But I already know what's happening.
Mm.
I didn't get that with this film. I thought I was going to have to just put up with the rest of the movie. And the rest of the movie was amazing from that point on, once you have that...
Right.
Once your head twists around to what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen... What's that terrible Australian film that I keep talking about? Like, remember me and Toby and Scott were hung over in Adelaide once. And Toby goes, I just want to go to the movies and watch some movie where everyone gets cancer and dies. And so we went to just watch... I said, that'll be an Australian film, surely. So we watched that one with Matthew Good. And he's a chef. And it's all told out of sequence. And you don't really know what's happening.
Is it something like Burning Man or something?
Yes,
or?
That's it.
Yeah, right.
And Essie Davis is in it. And there is a point where you realise what the emotional trauma that has happened that has spun his kind of world out of control.
Right.
And once you get to that point, you go, right. And from there on, it is the most torturous slog of a film.
Right.
Because you're like, oh, you have used this fractured time device to... disguise the lack of story.
Right.
That nothing happens.
Right.
So what is happening is you're keeping us in suspense about the fact that nothing's happening. And finally, when you tell us what's happening, we go, is that all?
Right.
And the movie goes, yes.
Right.
There's another 20 minutes of it.
Right. That's disappointing.
And there's like a character. Oh my God, there's a 10-year-old kid who's a character in it who just disappears for about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's right. They've got a kid.
Right. Right.
Then he comes back and says some really profound things. And you're like, oh, they've got Deus Ex Machina as a child.
I've got a Latin child.
Yeah. It's terrible. Right. But yeah, given the what happens in Arrival, I just was like, oh, yeah, this point in the movie, it could suddenly be boring. And
yeah,
in what in actual fact happens is that the pace picks up and it becomes incredibly, like, it almost becomes a different film.
Oh, yeah. And it just gets to the end.
Yeah. It just races along to the end from that point forward. And it's so good. It's such a great film. She's fucking... It's, you know, it all hinges on Amy Adams being amazing.
Yeah.
It would be...
Yeah, really good.
Quite...
Really good. Jeremy Renner's really good.
Jeremy Renner's really good. But can you imagine that film with anyone else in it?
Yeah. Madonna.
Oh, no. Don't imagine that. That's an awful thing.
Well, you said imagine it with someone else.
Anyone else. Not a terrible person.
Oh, okay. Oh, do you mean like a good actress?
Even like Sandra Bullock.
Right.
Like, we've been okay with Sandra Bullock.
Well, Sandra Bullock's pretty good.
Gravity is one of my favorite films. Who was someone else who's meant to be in Gravity? Who was that? Was that Jolie?
Was it Angelina Jolie and Robert Downey Jr.?
Maybe.
I think so.
It's such a good film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that my now two favorite sci-fi
Megan Fox.
Films.
Imagine Arrival with Megan Fox.
Oh, Jesus Christ. She's so awful. I love that. Have you seen you haven't seen the new Ninja Turtles? That's actually a good movie.
Yeah,
the
right.
Second
That's
Ninja
a weird
Turtles
sentence.
Movie.
That's, right.
That,
yeah.
It was fun because they kind of sideline her. Like,
right.
They make her do this weird Britney Spears thing early on in the film, which is completely unnecessary and weird. Like, she's in a school uniform.
Right.
And then after that, you don't really get to see her much, thankfully. And all the bits with the Ninja Turtles that are clearly only CGI are amazing.
Right.
It's an awesome, fun movie.
Right.
But it's just, it's weighed down with these weird... And also a really strange performance from Laura Linney.
Right. In what way?
Just the fact that she's in it.
Oh, right. Yeah. That is strange.
Like, it's kind of... It's almost like they've said, look, we want you to play the police captain.
Yeah.
She's gone, well, that's a good role for a woman in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
The chief of police. Like, that's a good...
Yeah.
You know.
Sending a good message.
Yeah. But then, you know, she didn't get to do much. she's really good in Nocturnal Animals.
Yeah, Laura Linney.
That
really
scene is
good.
Really...
Yeah.
It's hard to watch. Like, it's a difficult scene.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really good. She's a really good actor. She's been a good actor for a long time.
But she hasn't been in anything for ages.
Yeah, or she hasn't been in anything that's been successful, I guess.
Yeah.
But
has she hit that age now where you have to like go away until you can play everyone's mum?
Oh, yeah. So disgusting.
Because Amy Adams is like there. She's like a year away from not getting any work for 20 years until she can come back and be everyone's mum.
Yeah. I feel like hopefully with Amy Adams, because she's, you know, it's very rare that she's played a glam kind of role.
Yeah.
Like, she was glamorous in American Hustle.
Yeah.
But even that was kind of
Which is
grotty.
Hilarious, though. That fucking accent that she keeps putting on is one of my favourite things in the whole world.
The dislike of that film is beyond me.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
The science oven.
The science oven is just fantastic. Just a funny moment. Just a... And I love Christian Bale in that. In that scene where he's just so upset. Oh, you blew it up. What are you doing? And Jennifer Lawrence just going nuts.
It's a really funny movie.
It's really entertaining and funny.
Have you seen Joy? Did you end up seeing Joy?
No.
No, I never saw Joy.
No, I did not read good things about it. And, you know, in a year where you see fucking heaps of movies, sometimes it's quite easy for one to I'll just let that go.
That can go
Fantastic Beasts is one that...
It's gone through to the keeper. I'm excited about Star Wars next week.
Yeah, I'm going to mention to Richard that we should see it in London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the midnight screening again, I did last year, which was so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, with Stu?
Yeah.
Are you going with Stu?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And 3,000 other people.
Yeah, right.
I sat with Dave Callan last year. It was stupidly one of the stupidest films, but amazingly fun.
Yeah. I found that Star Wars movie to be less enjoyable the more I watched it, and so I've stopped watching it. I enjoyed it. I really had a great time the first time. And the second time I saw it, I enjoyed it. And then I was watching it a third time and I went, I've seen this enough.
I watched it because it came out in 3D. So I watched it in 3D the other day. And it's really fun in 3D.
Mm.
It's just...
That's how I first saw it.
Yeah. I think that's the fun part is like, oh my God, it's Star Wars, but it's in 3D.
Yeah.
But and the best thing about doing 3D at home is you can pause things.
Right.
So you go, oh, look, that's sticking out of the telly.
Oh, yeah. Well, Doctor Strange will look good.
Doctor Strange was amazing. Again, I was in a floating chair. Mm. Like, I cannot explain to you how stupid but fun the floating chair is.
Mm.
Like, it's like
it sounds like fun.
Gold class chair. So the feet fold out and it goes back. And then it's...
And it jigs.
Wobbling around.
Right.
When it's like, you know, something bad's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of vibrating.
Yeah.
It's like sitting in the washing machine.
Right. I don't know how I felt about Dormammu.
Dormammu.
Yeah.
So that's how... In the Lego video game... That's how Deadpool says Dormammu.
Oh, right. Funny.
Because here comes Dread Dormammu.
Funny. That's really funny.
He's really funny. Deadpool's the best.
Yeah, I felt like I would have liked to have seen more of a normal-looking dude with a fire head, like in the comic. Like I'd like...
Yeah, like I wanted to see normal Galactus. Dormammu looked just like Galactus in the Fantastic Four
right.
movie.
Big gas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Talk about it. Yeah. Talk about getting something so wrong.
Again, possessed minions and the end of the world.
Yeah.
I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah.
It's all that they seem to do in these movies. We've got some possessed minions and the end of the world. And we've got... we're going to get Tilda Swinton in to play Alec Guinness in this one.
Right.
We've got to get someone in to play Alec Guinness in every film.
Yeah.
And... Possessed minions and the end of the world.
Yeah. Once you open up the multiverse and you save that, I don't know what you save after that.
I know.
Hmm.
Although I did like the little end bit, the little chat.
With Thor?
Yeah. That was cute.
Yeah.
I liked the after credit scene in Westworld.
Oh, yeah. That was full on, wasn't
it? How great was that?
Yeah.
You just went, oh, talk about making a decision.
Yeah, far out. She was cool too.
I loved her.
I wonder if the next season of Westworld, so we've gone Westworld, obviously, in this first season, and then the next series will be fucking Blade Runner, which would be great. I would be totally up for that.
Yeah. Or is it, like, I mean, you know, it's hard to think where you go from here. Is the next one trying to hush it up? You know, do you go for Jurassic World vibe where it's like, oh yeah, no, some bad things happened, but we've reopened the park.
Mm.
It's fine now.
Mm.
It's fine.
Mm.
This is Dolores.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I feel like all of those people are about to get fucking wiped out, and that's great.
Well, yeah, that's the board.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, when that was my favorite, like that almost when they were setting up the tables in that town, I just went, oh, Jesus, this is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, this has been buried in sand for a long time for a very good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to get real.
Yeah.
And it was great.
And that's obviously what was being excavated.
Yeah.
In that scene where he's having the.
Yeah.
Have you watched that scene back since all the revelations?
I haven't watched it recently. I watched it a few times.
Because it's like my favourite scene ever in the entire show.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit where he goes, and this is fucking the genius of Anthony Hopkins, where he goes, so have you been enjoying Bernard? Like leans on Bernard in such a way to make you go,
oh.
So when, you know, all that happens, that you go, oh, right.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. At first, you just think, oh, my God, he knows. And then it's like, oh, my God, he knows because he's fucking a robot. Yeah, that's great. I know. I felt like there was a subtlety that was not appreciated with the series.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We should stop this. This has been going for days.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we haven't done one for a while. So, you know, we have to make up for some lost time. So.
Did we talk about the end of the Vision?
The comic?
Yeah. I know we probably talked about it.
No. Man, it was great.
So good.
Yeah, that series was...
It was perfect.
Tom King...
Are they continuing it? Is someone else taking over? That's it.
That was
it. It's just a 12-issue thing.
Well, it's definitely all King's doing because he's now writing Batman.
Yeah.
But his Vision, Sheriff of Babylon, and Omega Men, which I read all this year, were all...
Yeah.
Fucking head and shoulders above everyone, I thought.
I loved Unfollow. That's about the only comic I kind of...
I was really enjoying that. Then I missed an issue and then... I was waiting for trades, and then I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, I'll read it all. I missed the last couple.
Yeah.
I also, like, I've been loving 2018 this year, which has been great and very silly, as usual.
Mm.
They've just had, like, the last three issues of 2018. They had you know how all the buildings in Judge Dredd are named after bizarre celebrities?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's the, you know, thing-o block and the that block. This one was about... And like it's one of those things where you go, oh, why didn't I pick this from the first issue? And by the third issue, it turns out that the main character that you've been following has been processing and eating people and has become addicted to how delicious they are.
Oh, right.
Because they come out of like a machine in a little block.
Yeah.
And she lives in Mads Mikkelsen block.
Oh, great. Right. There you go.
Who played Hannibal on the TV series. You go, oh, Judge Dredd.
Yeah. I finished Hannibal.
Was it good in the end?
It's all right. It's a bit crazy. It's really crazy at the end. Yeah. But it's like really crazy.
Well, it's because they kind of went, oh, well, it's, you know, we're done. They've cooked our goose.
Yeah.
Let's go crazy.
Yeah, they really. It is one of those things where you're going, it left me very confused as to how I felt about it.
And I see that Brian Fuller, who was meant to be doing Star Trek, is now no longer working on Star Trek.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there.
He's committed to American Gods.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Right. Was that up on... Was that on the back burner for a while and now it's up, so now he has to go to that?
No, I think he was always doing it and then he was meant to be doing the Star Trek thing and he was trying to do both at once and then I think Paramount are like, no, we want it now.
Oh, so right.
It's... Yeah, I think it's Alex Kurtzman who...
Right.
Was working it, like, wrote the last couple of Star Trek movies anyway, so...
Right.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Akiva Goldsman's doing it. And they both did Fringe, which is like one of my favourite shows ever.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful.
Right.
And Michelle Yeoh's in it.
Is she? Right.
Yeah, she's the captain.
Right. Great.
I know.
That'll get a lot of people upset that it's a woman, will it? Or well, is Star Trek Universe... Oh, no, Star Trek Universe is pretty...
Well, they're... There was a theory for a while when Hillary was nearly the president that they were going to follow the Star Trek in president. So you have white president, then black president, just like black captain in Deep Space Nine, then female president, Hillary.
Oh, right.
And then Scott Bakula. Like that's the...
Right. Funny.
I would vote for Scott Bakula.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd vote for Scott Bakula as well.
But yeah, so yeah, they've had women like Voyager had a female captain, so it'll be fine.
Right.
Maybe woman Asian is too much for them. Who knows?
Right. Who knows? Who knows?
Look, how is she meant to pilot a spaceship? We all know that Asians can't drive.
Yes. That'll be argument.
That'll be the terrible alt-right meme going around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. I've just written one for them. I feel terrible.
Oh, yeah. Someone will take that. Oh, yeah. That's great. Thanks.
When I was in China, like all the driving is... chaotic, but no one bumps into each other.
Right.
So maybe it's not that Chinese people can't drive. Maybe just we can't drive on the same roads as them because we are come from different cultures and we have a different way of doing things.
Right.
Like, yeah, I never saw... Like, I occasionally saw cars pulled over by police, but, you know, and you would be in a cab and you'd be thinking, I'm going to die. This is terrifying.
Right.
But it all worked.
Yeah, as someone who does not drive in any way, I don't really know that cliche. I don't know really where it comes from other than it just seems like it's something racist to throw out there.
Yeah, but then I kind of go, well, maybe there's some truth in it. Not that it's like they're all terrible drivers, but just that, you know, we're talking about an entire culture of people who've learned to drive in different countries.
Well, it appears that there's a different approach in Adelaide to Melbourne to to Sydney. So it makes sense from country to country.
Oh, my God. Adelaide and the 5Ks under the limit. It kills me. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And Sydney, all the lanes are really narrow. But people, like, let you in.
Yeah.
Like, if you indicate and go to change lanes, then
they just understand that there's so much traffic that you just got to
Whereas in Melbourne, if you can be indicating for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then just be stuck on the side of the road waiting for the traffic to stop before you can go in.
Yeah, right.
Because everyone's an arsehole.
Right. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone needs to stop driving and then we can all come together. That's my argument.
Well, this will be the fun thing about the self-driving cars.
Right.
You can't hoon in a self-driving car.
Right. Hence why they'll never take off.
I know. Top Gear will be very boring.
Oh, yeah. Mad Max Fury Road won't be anywhere near as furious.
Oh, there'll be fury.
Yeah. But just people
but the cars will be going at a reasonable pace.
Why is this not going faster? Why are they not trying to run them off? I saw they've released the black and chrome version.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. That's going to be in the cinema.
Oh, that's couple of days as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out on Blu-ray. But I'd like to see that on the
But then screen. Sometimes I think maybe George Miller's just insane. Like he just said, like he said it looked really good when they were doing like the offline editing because it was all in black and white because it's quicker.
Mm.
He goes, oh, that looks really good. Let's do that. And then he tried to release the movie like that. And they're like, no. No.
I'm glad they didn't because I love the colours in it.
Yeah, it's glorious.
But I would like to see the black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A black and white version is almost like the, like you can almost imagine Zack Snyder going, oh, I want mine to be in black and white. It almost is.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you turn the fucking colour down a little notch, it would be actually in black and white.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh, could not. Does Justice League come out next year?
Maybe. I know it's Wonder Woman, isn't it, next?
Yeah.
But is Justice League the same year?
Surely they're releasing 2 films a year.
Maybe.
I have no idea.
Why would you? Wouldn't you jam another one in before that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And aren't they meant to, Ben Affleck's meant to be making a Batman?
That's 2018.
He's like sewn into that suit now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
I don't think he's very good either.
No.
And lots of people saying he's the best one yet. Well, if you believe that, then good on you, because you have a lot of it coming up.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Ben Affleck.
A lot of Ben Affleck Batman.
A lot of Ben Affleck Batman. Like, he was no good as Daredevil. Why is he going to be any good as Batman?
Mm.
Also, here's one of my problems with the Suicide Squad. I was meant to press stop ages ago, but I've got to tell you this one problem.
Mm.
If Deadshot can shoot around a corner to assassinate someone in prison, why can't he shoot around his daughter?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's a really bad...
I get that, you know, her main problem was, no, you can't shoot Batman. It's like, well, I probably shouldn't. And I'm not going to shoot him through you, but I could probably shoot him around you.
Mm.
And, you know, she's a kid. He can just deal with the consequences later. She'll get over it.
Right.
I can't believe you shot Batman around me, Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Just many... I have many problems with that movie.
I would love to have seen what they were going to do, and I would love to have seen the first changes they would have inflicted after the reception of Batman versus Superman. And then I'm curious about what changes they would have made after they went, oh, our trailer's doing well.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a movie by committee. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
But, you know, that bar scene, oh my God, it just keeps going.
Oh, it just keeps going.
So awful.
It is terrible.
It's just, oh God, I can't believe it.